broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
What did I do?
Turn around! Put your hands on your head!
It's been 7 months since I gave that answer, and they have done nothing but attack.
And this isn't my words. This is actually coming from the Joint Committee on Taxation.
The letter that you wrote to me, Mr. Brown, was, in, you know, I don't want to...
Blah, 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 blah.
Burn in hell.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast from the El Pacifico here, where the weather's been just... Oh, man. You see those waves today?
Are you kidding me, man? The best shape that I've ever did see.
It's a pretty nice shape on those waves, but... You know, we're working, baby. I work for a living, man. I got no time to hit the surf, but it was pretty sweet. And, of course, till 4 o'clock on the East Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is our bitch. Reality is the bitch on this show, and we go through the looking glass of talk radio, media, and the world. 877-876 is our number, 877-876-PHIL. I always forget to give the last four digits.
Yeah, what is it with you anyway?
I don't know. 87. Maybe I'm. It just proves that I'm not such an ego case that I love hearing my name. 877-876-PHIL. Is our number. Coming up, we have news on a deputy who tased a guy six times, and boy, did this guy deserve it. Wait till you hear this tape. Obama, the president, has mourned the loss of those soldiers at Fort Hood, and coming up this hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado on the Boston subway driver who stopped just short of running over a woman on the tracks there of the Boston subway system. It's an incredible story. If I hadn't seen the video myself, I wouldn't have believed it. In fact, we've linked it on our Twitter site at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. That's our staff-maintained Twitter site there, twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. Go over there. Take a look at this link of this Boston subway driver so alert that she saw the woman on the tracks, saw the people waving her to slow this thing down and get it stopped, and by God, she did. And I'm telling you, you're not going to believe it. She got this subway train stopped, bud.
Well, I mean, it was part of way on top of her.
Yeah, almost like ran her over. But a little bit of the subway train was like over the woman's head. She's just laying flat on the tracks. So it's just an incredible story. I want to also remind you that every night on our website, we are airing live streaming video of the show. That is philhendryshow.com. You can go over there and take a look at our show as well as listen to the show. We have live streaming video as well as live streaming audio on our website, philhendryshow.com. Visit us over there. And like I said, check out this link on twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. Let me get Dr. Ron Tarner to join us this evening. Dr. Tarner, how are you this evening, sir?
Very well. Thank you, Phil.
And tell me the study that you just got done authoring, and I know you authored this with a couple of doctors there from the University of Indiana, and this has to do with the lobes of the brain. I don't want to get into a whole lot of really technical stuff, but it has to do with that trigger that some of us will pull and some of us won't when it comes to irrational behavior.
Well, Bill, first of all, it doesn't really have to do with the trigger so much as it is a screen or a limit that is indicative of restraint. This is all having to do with the cerebral cortex, the frontal lobe of the brain. What causes us to stop before we do something that is illegal? What causes us to stop before we do something that is violent? What causes us to stop before we do something immoral? That was the study, and what we concluded was that for most of us, we have a series of neurotransmitters. These are chemicals that will allow us to allow our brain to communicate from one cell to the next. And when those are in good biochemical balance, we recognize those areas where we will consciously stop our activity before it becomes destructive to somebody else or destructive to ourselves. That is when we are biochemically balanced. What our study was endeavoring to achieve was, is there ever a time when we can override that for our own survival? Now, I don't mean that would we kill to protect ourselves. Of course we would. But would we kill unnecessarily to extend our lives or to extend our health or to survive? And that's why this story in Boston was of great interest to myself and Dr. Feinman as well. And I know you read some of it, Bill. I know not all of it.
Well, I haven't reached that point in my life where I can read these medical studies the way you can, Doc. But let's talk about this Boston story, because you think that this is a case in point. Now, this is a Boston subway driver who's being hailed as a hero after she brought her train to a screeching halt to avoid hitting a woman who'd fallen onto the tracks. Her name is Charisse Lewis. She's shrugged off the praise. This happened on Friday morning. She got a radio call from a fellow Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority employee, Jacqueline Osorio, who was standing on the platform at North Station, and she saw this woman tumble, and other people were waving her to stop, and she did indeed stop, and did so in as rapid a manner as possible, and saved the life of this woman that had fallen onto the tracks.
Absolutely. You know, it is something that is praiseworthy. Now, here is where our study takes a different look. This woman had an opportunity, and she didn't take the opportunity. And let me tell you what I mean. She had the opportunity to override that limit on her brain that would tell her, stop the train, you're about to run over a human being. She could have overridden that and continued on as the conductor of the train, as the driver of the train, and run over that woman, and she would not have been arrested, number one, because it would have been the fault of the woman who'd fallen onto the track. And number two, we believe that this would have extended her life physiologically, because what we're finding in our study is if you can, if you will, get away with an act of aggression that is so extreme as to take another life, and you are not forced to pay any penalty for that, that this actually can have a conducive effect on physiology. And what that young lady, her name is Charisse, I think you said, Phil?
Yeah, the driver's name was Charisse, I believe it's Charisse Lewis. Are you saying that she should have continued on and run that woman over?
That's a matter of conscience. What she should have done and what would have been the best thing for her to do may be two different things. What she should have done, in her mind, she should have stopped. What would have been the best thing for her to do? The best thing for her to do would have been for her to continue to run that woman over. She had an opportunity. And
why do you say the best thing?
In that instant, she would have recognized a rare opportunity. This is a once-in-a-billion opportunity for human beings to express real aggression and not have to pay any societal penalty for it.
What if she wasn't feeling aggression?
Well, we all have aggression, whether it is in the consciousness, whether it is in our subconsciousness, or whether it is in what we now know to be the superconsciousness. Or that part of the mind that extends beyond the mundane. We all have aggression, and we all need to get that aggression out. We all have a fair amount of stifled aggression and stifled anger. All that does is fester, and in many of us, creates a condition where cancers may grow or other diseases or other maladies. But here you have a woman, if she were in touch with her aggression, she would have seen a rare opportunity to do something good for herself.
All right, I got to stop you, though.
As well as do something good for her family.
I got to stop you, though. She might have been doing something good for herself and her family. What about the woman that she's running over?
The woman fell onto those tracks by virtue of her own act, Phil.
But what makes us human? What makes us human is our ability to recognize another human being in peril and to help them, right?
I don't know what makes us human. I would disagree with you. What makes us human is our ability to continue to grow and our ability to continue to evolve. Our ability to survive, that's what makes us human. And Charisse Lewis, or whatever this woman's name is, if she'd been more aware on that Friday morning of last week, she would have seen a golden opportunity that few human beings have in their lives. And that is to actually... And I want you to go with me on this, Bill. Don't interrupt me, and then I'll answer all the questions you have. The opportunity to kill another human being and not have to pay any penalty, and at the same time, get whatever portion of aggression that would be associated with that act of killing, get that to the surface and get it purged, and quite possibly extend her life by 10 to 15 years.
Why do you say 10 to 15 years?
Because the kind of aggression that you're purging, that is the aggression that it takes to willingly run over an alcoholic or whoever this whoever this was on the railroad, to run over this alcoholic, that is quite a deep feeling and can extend your life 10 to 15 years. I guarantee you.
All right, now let's talk about something before we take a break.
But I have a message for your listeners, if I could. If you could get away with an act of aggression like murder when an opportunity presents itself, you should do it. It will be therapeutic. It will be invigorating.
No, wait. You said murder. Do you mean killing?
Well, I mean, no. What I'm saying is what was presented to this young lady on that Friday morning, where she had every opportunity to run someone over and not pay the penalty.
Well, that's not murder. That's an accidental killing.
Okay. You know, you could call it anything you want.
Although it wouldn't be an accidental killing, would it?
Well, yes, it would be. But you and I know, and the audience, no, it wouldn't. In actuality, no, it wouldn't. But you know and I know that's what they would think it was.
Well, all right. I'm going to ask you a question here. Is it murder? If that woman saw that woman on the tracks and she thought, boy, I'm having a lousy week.
Well, maybe she's not having a lousy week. Maybe she just knows this would be a wonderful place for me to get my aggression out. And if this is a woman, and you have to take into consideration a lot of hormonal questions. The joke is, well, if it is her time of the month, she's going to be able to access that aggression a lot more readily. But one can easily see a woman who is experiencing a particularly difficult time of the month accessing that aggression readily and accelerating that train right over top of that woman. And when they finally bring the train to halt, she has been able to effectively purge that portion of her aggression, and nobody's going to arrest her for it.
Is it murder?
Why do you keep bringing that?
Because she knew that she could have stopped the train.
She didn't know that. She didn't know that at all. She might have hit the brakes, and maybe it didn't stop the train. What's the difference between hitting the brakes too late, or just flooring it? There is no...
One of them, when you floor it, you are intending to run that person down.
Maybe, and maybe you're intending not to hurt anyone in the train by bringing it to an abrupt stop, so that people would fall forward and injure themselves. Think of that one. You see, there are different ways of looking at this, but it all points to the same thing. The lady who was driving that train the other morning missed a golden opportunity to...
Yeah, a golden opportunity, you're saying, to purge some aggression and just keep that train rolling forward.
It's a once-in-a-million event that does not happen, as I said, once in a million. We have to be aware of these, and we have to take advantage of these. That's what our studies indicate, anyway.
Dr. Ron Tarner joining us. I don't think I'd be able to do that, even if I was aware that it would extend my life 15 years or whatever. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us on the woman who was driving that subway train. It would have been better for her and for her own personal health had she went ahead and just floored the train right across that woman, because she wouldn't have been blamed for killing anybody.
They would have thought it was an accident.
877-876-PHIL is our number here as we talk to Dr. Ron Tarner about Clarice Lewis, the subway driver in Boston who slowed her train down and saved the life of a woman who'd fallen onto the tracks as a result. Dr. Tarner says, had she floored it and let the train go right over top of that lady, it actually would have been better for Ms. Lewis. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm going to go get a Coca-Cola.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Dr. Ron Tarner about the subway driver, Clarice Lewis, in Boston, who was at the wheel when that woman fell on the track. So you're saying that was a one-in-a-million opportunity for Ms. Lewis to press the accelerator, run that woman over, kill her, because that moment of aggression that she was able to purge would extend her life.
That is our stud. Now, it's also, Phil, worth noting that in our studies we talked with some 250 women who had lost their babies as the result of falling downstairs or some other mishap. Very tragic in the minds of I would say, 99% of us. And yet, in our studies, some of those women reported an invigoration, an almost extension psychologically, whereby when they tripped and fell down these stairs, in some manner they tried to land on their stomachs so as to continue the injurious fall.
You got to be kidding me.
No, these are all things, you know, when you're a scientist, Phil, you don't trouble yourself necessarily with the shock value or the emotional aspect of it.
Because I have to ask you, how do you morally justify looking at somebody laying on a railroad track and flooring it?
Phil, I'm a scientist. I your questions of morality are nothing more than anchors. They weigh down the very vital research that I'm doing. And I have been surrounded by people over the last 5 years who have tried to slow down or to destroy much of the research that I've been doing. And I'm losing patience, really, with these people and their ant-like addiction to morality.
Well, but it's a consideration.
Yes, it's a consideration. But my work is very important in this area.
All right, let me take a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner with us. Let's go to Jack. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Tarner. Go ahead, sir.
Dr. Tarner, exactly where did you go to school? Did you go to school with Dr. Jack Kevorkian, by chance?
Very funny, Jack.
Yeah, of course.
If you really want to know where I went to school, I went to California Institute of Technology, if you've ever heard of it.
No, never heard of that.
I didn't think so.
Where exactly are these studies published saying that physiologically, by acting out some aggression, that it would extend your life?
Have you Googled my name? Yes, there is. And you haven't Googled my name. You haven't Googled my name because it's published under my website.
Okay, under your website, you're the only one. Okay.
That is exactly correct. No, I link the studies, sir.
Wait a minute.
Why do I have to talk to a feebrain like this? Is he going to listen to me or not?
Well, hold on for a minute. The gentleman's asking a question.
No, you asked me a question. I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
And it's linked on my website studies.
I should start a website and put up the fact that I'm printing money for the United States government. And
no, you can't. Not if you link a university.
Now,
not if you link a university.
Well, you guys aren't listening to each other.
University.
Why do I have to deal with a man who won't listen to me?
I've never had a peer review by the AMA.
Just because you say that doesn't make it so.
All right, are you guys listening? Are you guys listening to each other or not?
I tried to answer the man's question, and he wouldn't shut up. So I don't know what you want me to do.
Okay.
Well, what was your question, Jack? What was your question?
His question was where was it published? And I told him that it was linked on my site to the various universities where those are published.
Okay.
Yeah, shut you up, didn't it?
No, it did not shut me up. Here's my thing.
Yes, it did shut you up. Yeah, it did, because it was dead air for like 3 seconds.
Okay, that's fine.
Good for you.
I could put a website up and link to five universities and come up with focus studies. But there is no evidence whatsoever saying that an act of aggression would extend somebody's life. No, I just told you where you could find it. 17 years as an emergency room physician, and I've never heard of a study like this.
Okay, so in other words, you have a bucket. In other words, you spent your time with a bucket and a mop. And what else?
That's not fair.
My time with a
this man is
and a mop.
That's what you guys do, right?
That's
you
quite insulting,
after,
sir.
You mop up after
that
the people
quite
die.
That is insulting.
You,
all right, look, that was not...
After they die, you mop up.
That is their trauma because
you
of an act
up.
Of aggression.
All right.
Not
you
because
you
of
bop
the
up
act
after
of aggression.
You guys have been talking
wife.
To your wife.
Phil Hendry.
All he does is bop up.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with us is Dr. Ron Tarner, who has published a paper on the desirous effects or the life-extending effects of allowing aggression to assert itself in a way that is legal and in a manner that will not have a person's freedom compromised. And you were talking about the Boston subway driver. She could have run that woman over legally.
Yes, and Phil, before I continue, I want to say, pursuant to the gentleman I was speaking with, I am published in the National Journal of Resource Psychology. That's the National Journal of Resource Psychology. And there are links provided to the different universities that I have associated with, and I'm talking about some of the greatest minds in behavioral science. My work is too important to be impeded by these small minds that have blocked my way for some 15 years. The work.
Well, I understand that, sir, but going beyond the professional considerations, this subway driver, you're saying, should have run that woman over.
It would have been a legal act. No one would have found her at fault. She would have been able to express a reasonable amount of aggression. That is running over a human, an alcoholic. And if you want to place human beings on a stratum, if you will, and I don't want to do that, and I don't think anyone would, but if there is someone out there that wants to, well, I'm sure you would agree that an alcoholic that has fallen onto a subway track, that is somebody who, in the parlance of the street, is asking for it.
But again, we have this question of morality.
And again, I say to you that my work is too important to be impeded by these ants that have stood in my way with their ant colonies, these scientists. If that is something, Phil, that morally... causes a person to stop, then I would suggest something that presents itself every day. What about a dog or a cat running in the path of your car? An ugly dog or an ugly cat, because people seem to respond to cute animals in a manner that would restrain them. So if an ugly dog runs in front of your car, what's to stop you from flooring it? And that moment extends your life in terms of the physiology and the physiognomy, by at least 6.5 years.
Running over a dog.
Again, Phil, the tone of your voice is one...
forgive me, Doctor, if I'm responsive to these moral considerations, but I am.
My work, while you want to wallow in this morality, my work is impeded. My work that has been going on for 15 years by these ants in the scientific community.
Again, you have these professional considerations, sir, that I understand, but I'm talking just as a regular human being. You're telling me that I can extend my life if I run over a dog or if I just let an alcoholic fall on some subway tracks and go ahead and floor the subway, that it's good for me. I can't ignore the morality that I've been raised with.
You have to burn new neural pathways in your brain and not let these insignificant small minds, and they know who they are, and they have been very critical of my research and my work, these little men who will never be anything, you can't let them dictate what you're going to do.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Dr. Ron Tarner on the advisability of that woman who drove that subway running that woman over on the tracks. Dennis is in Boston. Dennis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. How you doing? I enjoy the show.
Good.
Thank you. I just want to call and let you know that I'm a truck driver that lives up in Boston area, and I know somebody that killed somebody that was driving, and it affected him seriously. He never wanted to drive again, and I think it would affect me personally, myself.
Were they laid right in the road?
It was an accident. The guy hit the car, and the lady died.
That's different. That's different. I'm saying when an opportunity presents itself, like someone's laying in the road, and you're on the road, you're in your truck, and there's a body laying there, do you swerve to avoid it?
Of course he would.
No, I want the gentleman to answer the question. Do you swerve to avoid it?
You try to avoid it if you can. You do what you can, but you don't...
Wrong. Wrong.
Get in an accident.
Wrong.
What do you mean wrong?
Wrong.
If he's in a truck and he drives over a body, that could cause his truck to crash.
Oh, but now who's worried about morality? Now you're worried about yourself, aren't you?
Swerving, you swerve hard enough, you can lose control of the truck anyway.
You run them over. If you run them over and you do so with that split second of clear conscience that it would take in the research that I've developed, even in the face of these scientists who have laughed at me and have tried to have my licenses revoked, you would experience something that could extend you physiologically, as well as in the physiognomy, a great many years.
But personally, I think it would affect me for the rest of my life, knowing I killed somebody.
It would affect you for the rest of your life by extending your life.
Yeah, and what if this man's life is extended by the fact that he's feeling guilty about it?
The gentleman's name is Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis, don't let the little binds that have impeded me impede you.
Your professional considerate... I'm sorry, Dennis, go ahead.
I think that it would just affect me for the rest of my life, and I don't see how that's going to add time to my life.
Dennis, I'm telling you that if you could find it within yourself to go ahead and floor it and run that guy over, you would feel so much better about life.
I don't understand how that works.
Why do I have to answer the questions of non-professionals? You're a non-professional, right, Mr. Hendry?
Of course.
And so is Dennis, correct?
He's a truck driver.
Then why don't you guys just take my word for it? I'm a doctor, and I have had to fight not only the disbelievers, but the professionals in my field that would tear me down. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants.
Sir, again, your professional considerations I understand, but we're just two laymen trying to understand this.
Well, then understand this. If you two men could divest yourselves of that much conscience for at least 5 seconds to go ahead and floor it and run that drunk over on that track, because let's face it, that's exactly what we're talking about, nothing more, nothing less, you would extend your lives by 12 years.
Well, this man said it, and I'm saying it, too. It would be a very, very hard thing for me to do. Dennis, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Nola in Chattanooga. Go ahead, Nola. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me see if I can explain this. I understood the running over the person and that would no consequences, and you have the choice, and you make the decision.
If you can do this without conscience, because understand, the woman that was driving that subway train and or operating the subway or however they put that, it would not have been her fault had she run that woman over.
Right, and she could have hurt passengers if she had locked up the brakes.
Exactly.
She could have people around in her.
So why not weigh a doubt against the certainty and accelerate over the body?
But here's
man,
my question.
I don't know, man.
Then you have these shows that you see, and I realize that it's all like reality TV. You have these Wicked Attraction where the couples kill, and they're really turned on by that.
I'm not talking about that. My work extends beyond that.
Let the lady finish. Yes, ma'am.
This is my question. Once you make that conscious decision and say she steps on the throttle, how do you keep from getting, like, the God complex and think that you can control who lives and dies and stop yourself from doing it again?
Because you already have that break in your mind. Your biochemistry is already well-balanced. I'm saying one step beyond. If the opportunity presents itself, it is a conscious decision which, if you will, releases the governor on that biochemistry for however many seconds, allows you to make the decision to purge that aggression, run the alcoholic over, and be done with it. See, these are the questions that I was asked at, and you're asking a very good question. I asked, these same questions were asked of me at the last symposium we did, and I stormed out of the conference room. I was so insulted by these ants.
Oh, you
understand what I mean by an ant? Yes. No, you're not insulting me. I'm surrounded by ants in the professional community because my work, it must go on.
So you're saying, doctor, in other words, that if we make that conscious decision and we're healthy people, we will return to our health?
Until the opportunity presents itself again.
Presents itself? When are you ever going to have the opportunity? You even said it's one in a million.
Absolutely, it's one in a billion. So chances are it won't, unless there's an ugly dog or an ugly cat on your street. But that's not going to extend your life. A dog, you could run an ugly dog over, and what's that? About 6 months?
So you're saying that it's more like a release valve. Once you release that pressure.
Hey, you know, that makes you smarter, Nola, than 90% of the behavioral scientists in America, in North America. You are smarter than them. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying? You are smarter than 90% of the behavioral scientists that I have been dragged down by and that I have been assaulted by over the last year.
All right, Nola, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. Good question. Thank you very much, dear. Let's go over to Suzanne. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarter.
Very smart woman.
Thank you for taking my call. You know,
yes, ma'am.
About over 10 years ago, I was a passenger in a car where the driver made a decision to hit a dog rather than swerve and miss the dog, even though no one else was on the road. And he could have safely swerved and missed the dog. Maybe he thought the dog was ugly, like your guest believes that ugly dogs could be run over. And I have to say that I have felt so, even though I wasn't the driver, I have felt so guilty all these years, and hearing the sound of the dog's body being hit and slammed by the car.
You see what's happened?
That has taken years off of my life. And
it's taken years off of your life because you weren't driving the car. And you've allowed that individual's morality to infect your own.
Humans have a consciousness. I can't believe that people who make a conscious decision to deliberately take the life of someone else are anything other than psychopaths.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when the opportunity. If an alcoholic's laying on a railroad track, what else are you going to do?
What do you mean, what else are you going to do?
Devaluing and judging someone else's life. And that first of all, the woman on the subway, driving the subway track, didn't know that woman was an alcoholic. And I don't think.
If you're driving a subway, man, a beautiful dog or
a model on the railroad track, you shouldn't kill them. I mean, listen
no,
to
No, I
your
didn't say anything. I said
and
if,
your
if you're driving. Ma'am, if you're driving a subway train and there is a woman splayed out on the track, I think it's a pretty fair bet she's an alcoholic.
No,
now,
there was
that's
somebody from
one.
Australia whose baby carriage pushed her from another country, and her baby carriage got out of her control and fell down onto the track. And
what?
So would it be okay to hit a baby?
You didn't hear, doctor, you didn't
baby?
Hear about that?
Did I hear about a baby doing what?
It was a baby carriage that,
got
away.
Oh, all right. Now, let's be clear. A baby carriage, you don't think that woman's a drunk?
Why?
Carriage got away from her? Come on. You know that's a drunk.
It was on a video camera, and she turned away, and the baby carriage rolled down onto the track. It was on TV. So would it be okay
and
to
what
run
happened
over
to
a
the...
baby? I mean, you're...
All right, well, let me ask you what happened.
Ugly dogs and alcoholics. You're judging people. And you're trying to people do have a conscience, and I don't
think
that
you
can. The baby
was the baby hurt?
No.
There you go.
Thank you.
Well, so, you didn't know that. What, I mean, a train is going to run over a baby carriage. How do you know it's not going to hurt the baby?
You are encouraging
that train,
people to do psychopathic things.
No,
and,
I'm not.
And then get
I'm
away with it by saying it's going to extend their lives.
No,
and the
no,
other
I
man who called
all.
You
no,
and questioned the research was a doctor, and you... And I'm an attorney, and I don't know what NOLA is. But
he's a doctor.
You
if, that guy's a, if that guy's
you
a doctor, by day,
you have an
if,
arrogance and a God complex yourself where you think
exactly.
that you can just be,
yeah.
you can just
and
say
I,
people
I,
can kill other
I
people.
I want to ask a question here, Dr. Tarner. That train, that driver on that train that ran over the baby carriage, are you saying that man's life is now extended?
If he made the decision, well, it's a baby carriage, there's nothing I can do about it. Let's have some fun, not let's have some fun, but let's go ahead and floor it.
If he made the decision...
Was the baby hurt? No. Why are the two of you questioning work that I've been conducting for 20 years in the face of ants? Yes, I said the word ant, and I meant it. The man
because
who called,
I think
the doctor...
You're giving people an excuse not to try to avoid
yeah.
taking a life, whether it's an ugly dog, an alcoholic, or a baby...
If an ugly dog runs in front of your car, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to
get
out and put a bonnet on it?
Why couldn't you have just said a dog? What if it were a poodle?
Because
what if it were a pedigree? Why do you have to use words like ugly and alcoholic?
Well, because it's easier for us.
You're devaluing life.
Yes.
Mab, it's easier for us to go ahead and floor it if you look at it, a dog that is obviously Heights 57 variety. Go ahead and floor it. Now, if you're looking at a purebred... That's worth money.
Oh, come on, man. What difference does it make?
It's okay for Hitler to kill people that he thought were less important than his Aryan race?
No,
I mean,
if you look at how stupid Hitler was, no, because he killed Jews.
It's surprising
he killed
himself. You would have thought
Hitler killed
his life.
Yeah, what about that, Doc?
He killed Jews who ran the banks. Thank you. It was a stupid thing to do.
I see. So maybe killing the gypsies was okay.
Look, I know what the two of you are trying to do. You're trying to drag my research down into the mud.
No, we're trying to heighten your vocabulary.
She left.
Maybe if you didn't.
She left me.
Maybe if you approached your vocabulary differently, it would
ask you a question?
Perhaps give you some more credibility.
Where do you get the right to laugh at me?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm appalled by you. I'm shocked
yes.
by you.
The
I'm
doctor
shocked.
That
I'm
called,
not laughing
that
at
doctor.
You. I'm shocked by you.
That emergency room orderly that called me.
He was an emergency room physician.
He was a guy with a bucket and a pair of funny-looking loafers.
Have you?
That
what are you?
After
you're
he,
some
after
guy,
his, after he butchered up someone.
You're publishing information, is telling people that there's some justification for not trying to do whatever you can do to save a life.
Someday
it's an ugly
people
dog.
Will remember the work that I did. Someday people will know my name.
Yeah,
now,
you and Hitler.
Yeah,
I've
you and Adolf Hitler.
I've never been on your radio show before, and listen, and I've been so upset and appalled by people, but you have taken me to the brink.
Babby,
and Phil, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
So she's telling me, oh, okay, so we let an ugly dog get away with it.
Get away with what? Thank you very much for your call, ma'am. 877-877, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We got to take a break. Dr. Ron Tarner, our guest on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm an volcano surrounded by ants. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Someday they'll remember my name.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Asking, what is the name of it again?
You can see my work is published, Phil, at the National Journal of Resource Psychology.
And that links all of the sites?
It links all the universities, yes. And again, to the lady that I just spoke to and to the so-called emergency room physician that I spoke with, get yourself a computer and then hit that little button that says click here and it'll tell you, I don't know. You're going to probably have to hire somebody to show you how to do it.
Don't be condescending like that.
I'm being condescending after the kind of grief that I've taken in my industry from the ants, as I've said, that have...
I understand the ants that have drug your work down. Here is Elmer in Albuquerque. Elmer, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Mr. Henry. I'd like to first
yes,
start
sir.
By saying hello to your guest as well.
Good evening to you.
Excuse me, sir?
I said good evening to you.
Oh, good evening. I don't know. I have a few questions for you. First of all, I just want to ask you, if you could get away with this once, is twice better? Will that increase your lifespan more? Or?
That is a very good question. And since this is a once-in-a-billion opportunity, I don't know that it would ever present itself more than once.
May I interject? It's actually not a once-in-a-lifetime. Actually, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, sir. I was in Iraq.
I can assure you that they've only told us that they were able to do this one time.
Right, sir. I'd like to interject and add something. I was in Iraq, and I had many times where I could have probably got away with it and killed a lot of people. So if that was the case...
Excuse me, let me finish.
If that was the case, I would have lived forever. Well, I mean, that's how I'm understanding what you're saying. I mean,
No, you're misunderstanding me.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, you were in Iraq and you were driving a bus? I don't understand how...
He was a soldier.
Sir, I was a soldier. What I'm saying is that I had plenty of opportunities.
Right, but were you driving a subway?
I had plenty of opportunities to kill somebody, you know, fruitlessly kill somebody.
But were you driving a truck or riding a subway?
Phil Hendry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.